The Senate will please come to order. Clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here.
The quorum being present, we will post the colors. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our invocation this morning, Pastor Glenn Hostler, Church of God, Oak Park Community Church here in Salem.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, I ask you for your blessings to be upon this Senate today. Jesus, their task is so difficult, for we're living in the worst economic conditions of our lifetime, and so many of the issues facing our society seem to defy solution. No decision they make will ever please everyone. So, Father God, give them wisdom as they seek solutions that would be the best for the people of Oregon. And as they struggle in that task, Lord Jesus, help them to be willing to set aside personal agendas and choices if need be, and give them the courage to compromise when that too would be the best for all of Oregon. And may they do all that they do with respect and dignity, not only for each other, but for all Oregonians of our great state. And may their time today be well spent. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn Hostler. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you for your invocation today. Honorary Pages, Jessica,
Delbone, Carly Campo, Ashley Lear, Braden Lehman, Brianna Van Velde Heisen, and Caitlin Sloan. These are the honorary pages today that are a guest of Senator Frank Morris. So very pleased that the pages could join us today. They help us get through our activities here on the Senate floor and contributed mightily to the legislative process throughout a legislative session. So thank you, pages. I hope you're having a constructive day and a good day. It's an honor and a privilege to have you. Under the courtesies of the Senate, I'm going to hope I don't make a mistake here. In the fall of 2008, the Capitol Restoration Project was completed on time, my fellow senators, under budget, on time, and resulted in the beautiful restored Capitol wings that you enjoy today. The restored wings now reflect the furnishing, the finishes of the historic Capitol and possess the functionality and dignity appropriate to the people's building. Behind the scenes, the wings are now safer and they are greener. I'd like to recognize a few of the people who contributed to this success. From Pivot Architectural, Kurt Wilson and Kelly, where are they? Why don't they come forward? Just walk forward, please, as I call your names. Okay. Kurt Wilson and Kelly Howell, they're the architects that helped, Pivot Architect that helped design the wings. From Fortis Construction, Tim Sissel, Kian Rager, and Pete Smith, they're coming forward. These are the construction people that worked so hard. From Heary International, Lou Turney, this was the clerk of the works. This was the master sergeant, he was a taskmaster. He flat out was the taskmaster. It's his job to serve no one, just make sure everything was on time, under budget, and done well. So, and he is a former Marine captain. That's why I chose him. From Oregon Correctional Enterprises, Brad Snodgrass. Where's Brad? And I know that Senator Ferriolo and I have a special feeling for him as we went out and visited with the inmates as they put together that remarkable furniture in the prison industry area. So, Brad Snodgrass, who represents the Oregon Correctional Enterprises here. And from our own legislative administration project team, we have Scott Burgess, Herb Colum, Robert Ault, Vicki Braemeyer, Dave Brentano, Dave Hartsfield, Lori Hayhurst, Shane Walker, and Ken Louis Tagg. So this is the group of individuals that helped make the wings possible. Appreciate very much all the work. How about some applause for the incredible job that they did? Once again, on time, within budget, done very, very well. Mission completed, according to Captain Lou Turney. That's what it was. Now, Senator Ferriolo.
Mr. President, I think it's completely appropriate that you have brought this team here to recognize. Colleagues, you will never be aware of the amount of trauma that we went through in the daily meetings that took place from the design through the construction and the completion phase, and the detail work that gets done. What we see in the wings is a completed project, and it's magnificent. It's utterly worthy of the work that went into it and worthy of the People's House in Oregon. But I remember back to discussions from advisory groups about the ergonomic furniture and discussions about texture, color, how things would look, how things would wear, sort of the mundane details, but those things take a lot of energy and surprisingly a lot of agonizing over. Those choices are choices that are going to be with us for 30, 40, 50 years, perhaps longer. The interesting things about that is when you get into a project, you find you discover things, and sometimes those discoveries are not very nice discoveries. For instance, the roof leaking over the newly remodeled hearing rooms, A, B, C, D, and that hallway, and water entering into the building from actually the sidewalls. You know, all of us have noticed the drips in the underpark, but we never connected those with the planters on the street outside the building, or the design that was done in 1934 for the roof garden. You know, you put a lot of weight and a lot of soil and a lot of traps for water on top of a building, inevitably it leaks. And all of those things were sort of discovered and came as wild cards in the middle of the project. And I just wanted to tell you that I suffered tremendous trauma over this and was constantly, with my colleagues that served on the committee, probing deeper to find whether or not we were doing the right thing. And the end result, I hope, will serve Oregonians for this next half century. But I do want to join the president and ask you, my colleagues, to join the members of that committee that agonized over the details, and just to thank them for what I think is a magnificent piece of work. And Mr. President, thank you for bringing our attention back to the team that really made it happen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And Senator Ferriero, I'm very happy you spoke, because the Senate did this together. There was no DR thing with the Senate. We did this together, and I'm very grateful. Senator Ferrioli was on that restoration committee, and we did agonize over many decisions. So once again, the Restoration Wings A team did a great job, a wonderful job, and history is the final comment on the great work you've done. So thank you, each and every one of you, very, very much. Okay, now we'll go Senator Bruce Starr, I assume.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues.
You have your mother with you.
I do have my mom with me, and she's not very comfortable sitting on the Senate floor, quite honestly, at this moment. Mr. President, I haven't had her on the Senate floor in the three months that we've been here. But this is a special day, Mr. President. 53 years ago today, my mom and dad were married. Today's my mom and dad's 53rd wedding anniversary. And I want to take note of that, not because necessarily only because she married my father, and then my dad dragged her around the West and helped her raise four boys, but that the fact that that she put up with my dad for 53 years. And I just wanted to take a moment to honor my mom and dad. My dad's here on the floor now, and recognize that it takes a significant amount of commitment and effort, I think, to be married for that long. And I think the commitment there is evident. And I would ask the courtesies of the Senate be given, provided to my mom, who's also my chief of staff, well known in the building, and to my father as well. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, Senator Starr. It's an honor and privilege that you've done this. Could you tell me the first name of your mother and father, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Charles and Kathy Starr.
That's right. Thank you very much.
And after the session today, there are some refreshments out in the lobby if anybody wants to come out and help us celebrate a little bit after session today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Of course, Senator Charles Starr served with us many times for many years. Did a great job, and Kathy is a permanent fixture here. And it's always great to see a son love his mother. And just a comment I have about mothers and son. I have this attitude about mothers and son. So it's always great for me to see a son really love his mother, and a mother be here to make sure that he behaves himself as only a mother can. And of course, it's nice to see you, Charles, sort of sitting in the background. You're part of this, but it's not like the mother and the son, so I hope you understand how I'm saying this. It's nice to have you here. It's a great day for all of you, but the mother-son thing is very sentimental for me, just very, very sentimental. So job well done, Senator Starr. I'm very happy that you brought your parents here, that you honor them like that. The Senate would like to honor them, and I extend a special type of yes. You've done a great job. You've got a great son, dad, and mom. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much, Senator, for doing that. Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Reverend Hostler, as a longtime friend of mine, whenever I get stuck down here because you make us work weekends or something, I go to his church. My sister-in-law goes to his church. And Reverend Hostler's had me in as a guest speaker from time to time. He is the constituent of Senator Jackie Winters. So please say hello to Reverend Hostler and give him courtesies of the Senate today.
Thank you. I've already extended the courtesy of the Senate to Reverend Hostler, so again, I'm glad you brought him to our attention, a very nice invocation. Thank you very much, Reverend Hostler. Are there any other courtesies at this time? Okay. Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is a notable day in several ways, and another one that I wanted to bring to your attention is that March 31st is the 82nd anniversary of the birth of Cesar Chavez, and that obviously is an event known to many of you, most of you, I'm sure probably all of us, as a great leader of the farm workers movement in this country, people who work hard every day to bring us our food and sometimes very difficult conditions. So please join me in commemorating Cesar Chavez Day here at the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Frank Morris, please. I know what's coming.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Last night was a very, very special evening in Gill Coliseum. In fact, it was a throwback to the Ralph Miller era when somebody that's hearing impaired like I am has pain in their ears because the electric atmosphere and the cheering was so loud that the Beavers were able to send the University of Texas El Paso home with a loss. As you know, Mr. President, I'm sure you know that they are the Miners, and the Miners broke their pick last night, Mr. President.
Just for the record, it ain't over. He's right, the good senator, but they haven't won this thing yet. They've got to go back to the Miners' home. If they can win one game, they will win this extraordinary tournament that they have entered. But great job again, but now they got to go to a place called Texas and visit the Miners in the Miners' camp. So thank you very much, Senator Frank Morris. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, one of the things that Oregonians really, really want is bipartisanship here in the Capitol. And I've got to tell you that for the first time ever, we are going to have a bipartisan Senate team participating in the Pole Pedal Paddle in Bend, Oregon on May 16th. It's an event in their 33rd year where they have about 4,000 contestants, and we will be 8 of those contestants. So this is what happens in hallways when you get together. Jackie Dangfelder and I have been plotting this for a number of weeks now, and we actually have a team now pulled together of Bruce Starr, Jackie Dingfelder, Floyd Prozonsky, Mark Haas, Chris Telfer, Frank Morris, Peter Courtney, and Ted Ferrioli. So we have 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats, and the greatest Finnish runner ever standing at the podium up there. I know his head is bowed. He's a little embarrassed about this, but I'm actually going to let Jackie put out a challenge to you all.
Thank you, Senator, and it's very exciting to...
Senator, I can't do this.
Oh, I can't speak.
You need
speak
to go
on,
to your... Right. I don't mean to be a jerk. It's a wonderful moment. You got to accommodate
microphone.
Me, so I will wait till you get to your microphone. So otherwise, the Secretary of the Senate will chastise me and discipline me right here in front of all of you.
Thank
so
you,
I didn't
Senator.
I didn't mean to embarrass you, but you got
to
understand.
We were trying to demonstrate bipartisanship by sharing a microphone. But thank you, Senator Telfer, for helping organize this. It's very exciting that we have a bipartisan co-ed team that's going to be taking up the challenge of the pole paddle pedal. We also would like to invite anybody who's not on the team to come to Bend that weekend and cheer us on, because we will need a lot of cheering on. Senator Telfer did not say who is doing what legs, but we'll be putting out a little notice here to everybody so they can come by and cheer us on. But we do have a challenge for everybody in that we have been struggling to find a name that captures our team, the bipartisan spirit of our team. So we're asking everybody here in this body, in the Senate, and the challenge also goes out to the staff that's listening to help us find a name for our team. So we're accepting nominations. You can send them to Senator Telfer's email. We're accepting nominations. I just volunteered her. until a week from Friday, and after that we will close the nominations and there'll be a select team that will take those ballots and make the decision. But I just wanted to ask everybody for your assistance as we're looking for a really memorable name. And if you would be so kind as submit that to Senator Telfer a week from Friday, we'd really appreciate it. And we will announce the name the following week on the Senate floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Telfer, Senator Dingfelder. For what it's worth, the final runner in this event who's been referred to at the podium is on steroids. And that's an absolute true statement. In order to pull this off, he is on steroids. I had to have a cortisone shot in my hip. So it's not funny at all. So I'm very nervous about this. And I've got to say, the only reason I tell you it's a cortisone shot is I got young people in the back of this chamber. And if I just say steroids, it's not going to work. So this is not something I'm looking forward to at all. At all. So I'm doing it. And we hope that the final runner is able to finish his 1/3 mile lap. It's going to be very embarrassing that he can't. So with that, without objection, I return to order of courtesies in the back. Gallery, Highland Elementary School, which is in the heart of my Senate district, fifth graders, 32 of them. So I really want to say hello to all the Highland students back there and to Chelsea Fuller, who is leading the group. So I hope you're having a great day, Highland, in the state capitol. Highland, this is your capital. Hope you stay here the rest of the day, all the rest of the week. It's a great building. It's really a privilege and honor to have you here. So I'm glad you came, Highland, and come back and see us again, okay? It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each and every one of you students from Highland and to your teachers and all your friends, okay? Good job. We'll now return to the order of remonstrances. There are no further remonstrances. We'll go to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm going to speak before the House has passed. House Bill 2123. The Speaker has signed House Bill 2495 and HJM 2 and 4.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. Of course, with SR 8.55, one committee report, summary 52, was distributed to members March 30th, and number 53 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State's report and is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions. Are there any propositions? No. Action executive points requiring Senate confirmation, introduction, first reading of Senate measures, second reading of Senate measures.
SCR 9, in memoriam David Lett, 1939-2008. Senate Bill 5539, relating to financial administration and PERS in a current emergency. Senate Bill 30, relating to government ethics in a current emergency. Senate Bill 135, relating to alcoholic beverages. Senate Bill 191, relating to service money operations. Senate Bill 386, relating to debt collection practices. Senate Bill 462, relating to eligibility for unemployment insurance benefits in a current emergency. Senate Bill 582, relating to sex offender notification and care facilities. Senate Bill 599, relating to service money.
These are passed the calendar. All right, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a caucus at the piano. 10 minutes.
Senator Ferrioli. All right. This is what we're going to do. The Senate D's will go to the piano. The Senate R's will go to the water fountain or the water cooler. And we will stand at ease for 10 minutes. Recognize Senator Bill Moore. Excuse me. Senator Morissette, do you want to do it now or you want to wait to come back?
I'll wait till we come back.
Thank you, Senator Morissette. We will now return to our regular business. We were about to go under the third reading of Senate measures, but first I recognize Senator Bill Morissette. Without objection, we'll return to the order of courtesies.
Okay.
I believe it's courtesies.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Where's your card? Your name is Catherine.
Huh? Mr. President, it is my honor this morning to have Catherine Grace.
Go ahead, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. My honor to have Catherine Grace sitting at my desk. She is the president of the Physician Assistance Organization, and she is from Halfway, Oregon. And I asked her where Halfway is halfway from, and she said it's halfway from heaven and Hell's Canyon. She, along with her colleagues, are in the Capitol today to celebrate the Physician Assistant Day, and I recommend that you go to the gallery and visit with them. They are an extremely important component of rural health care, particularly, although there are over 300 of them in the state, and many of them do practice in the urban areas. But they're particularly valuable in rural Oregon. So I would appreciate extending the courtesies of the Senate to Catherine Grace. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Morissette. Catherine, thank you very much for coming from Halfway. It's a privilege and honor to have you here. While I have an internist, I've never seen him. It's my physician assistant that I see that takes care of me. So I have immense respect for physician assistant. Really, that's the only one. I don't know. There's doctors out here, but I don't know. I've never seen him, but I've sure seen my physician assistant. So you do very important work. It's a real honor and privilege to have you here representing the physician assistants. Thanks for coming from Halfway. Great place. Thank you, Senator Morissette. Thank you for your patience, too, because you had to wait because we had a little break there. So thank you for your patience. We'll now return to the regular order of business. We'll go on to the third reading of the Senate measures. Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 108, relating to practice veterinary medicine.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 108 was brought to the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee by the Veterinary Medical Examining Board. They received a complaint regarding a first-year veterinary student that was allowed to perform surgeries, administer rabies vaccinations, and other procedures without supervision. Currently, state law provides a licensing exemption for students participating in the treatment and diagnosis of animals in off-campus educational programs. This bill places additional conditions on the exemption by requiring, first, that students be engaged in an educational program approved by the board or an accredited college, and second, that the student has to be under the direct supervision of a licensed veterinarian or veterinarian approved by the Board of Oregon State University. The veterinarian board testified that this change would ensure that only those students deemed ready to practice can do so and only under direct supervision. The bill passed unanimously out of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and I urge your I vote.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Question now rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 108. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Boquist, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 108, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 200, relating to homelessness.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please, who will carry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 200, which comes from your committee, Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. And this is an extremely important bill. It results from the governor's appointment of a commission called the Ending Homelessness Advisory Council that came together in 2006 to bring a focus on homelessness and what we can do to make sure that we minimize or even eliminate it. And I want to give you a little background on the problem, and then you'll hear more shortly from my co-carrier. But You may know already that there is an annual census den of homeless Oregonians wherein one night we go out and actually count the number of people that are homeless. Between 2007 and 2008, colleagues, that resulted in a 9% increase in the number of people who were homeless on that night. And some even more disturbing statistics came out of that census. First, 51%, more than half of Oregon's homeless, were people in one- or two-parent families with children. And that meant that we had more than 2,700 children who were age 11, at least 11 or younger than 11. That represented 22% of the people that we counted in 2008. So 54% of homeless Oregonians identified themselves as families, 12% were in need of services but were turned away, and 23% were living on the street with no services at all. And their problems are much greater than just not having a place to live. 88% had a mental or emotional disorder. Nearly one quarter were affected by domestic violence, and 23% had a physical disability. So we bring to you today a plan, a framework for how we can deal with these problems. And this really encompasses, I think, all the services that you might think of that people need, not just housing. So it's health and education, mental health and economic well-being. And the bill does basically four things. It brings a focus on permanent housing rather than temporary solutions. You'll hear more about that shortly. The bill calls for an enhanced collaboration between local, county, state, and federal agencies, wherein they deliver integrated and cost-effective programs in a seamless and timely manner. There's a need for measurable outcomes which focus on housing stability and for increased accountability. And finally, a recognition that each person who experiences homelessness faces unique barriers, possesses personal strengths, and requires an individualized approach. Colleagues, you might have noticed that this bill carries no fiscal impact, but that is not because there is not a need for additional resources, simply an acknowledgement that we need a starting place, and that by adopting this policy today, we will have put into law a framework and a plan, and eventually, hopefully, we can accompany that with the resources needed to address the problem. So, colleagues, I am very proud of the work that went into this bill. Our committee supported it unanimously, and I would urge you to do so as well.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Recognize Senator Telfer, please. There is no other lights on.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, a couple weeks ago, I returned home to my office in Bend, Oregon, and upon arrival, my staff filled me in on what had happened while I was gone, and they mentioned the fact that there was a car parked outside my office window in a dirt parking lot next door. It was a father and two children living in their car. This car was a very late model, compact. The front passenger window had been broken, and there was a towel there. And so I thought about these people, instead of getting some work done. And this is these are statistics. You know, the two children are part of the 2,700 homeless children that make up 22% of the almost 13,000 people that are homeless. And, you know, I thought about what they were doing. It was spring break, and so they didn't have school to go to during the day, and which is where they get a roof over their head during the day. So I wondered what these kids were doing when they weren't in school, and I thought to myself, well, what do these kids do if they have homework to do, or how do they get ready to go to school? Are they even prepared when they're in school? School provides them a roof over their head and some shelter for a certain time of the day. I thought about that education. I thought about how far in education would they go since they weren't getting much of an education at their young age, and I worried about their mental health. You know, these are young people who don't have a whole lot of self-esteem, and will they ever acquire it? And I also thought about, obviously, their economic well-being. Apparently, the children and the father left the car early in the morning before dawn and would return late at night. And I wondered what they did all day long. And so Senate Bill 200 does one thing that's important to me. It changes the mindset of the state and the direction from looking at temporary housing for these people to looking at more permanent housing and how we might be able to assist people with more permanent housing, which can change their life all around. So I would encourage you and to vote yes on Senate Bill 200.
Thank you. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 200. Those in the opinion of the bill passed say aye. Those opposed no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Korsanski. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Boquist, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 200, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 479, relating to opportunities for disabled veterans and public contracting.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger, please, the carrier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, our Legislative Assembly has proven time and again to be a friend of the veteran. SB 479 is another opportunity to show our support and gratitude for the men and women who have been injured in the line of duty. Over the past decade, the federal government has enacted legislation granting service-disabled veterans special consideration in public contract bidding. SB 479 will do the same here in Oregon by extending practices already in place for other small businesses to those owned by disabled veterans. This bill comes at a pivotal moment in our current economic situation, and it's equally important that we do all we can for those who have made such great sacrifices on our behalf, and I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion, please. Question arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 479. Those in the opinion of the bill to pass say aye. Those opposed no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Juanes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Boquist, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 479, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 538, relating to physical education, declaring emergency.
Recognize Senate Bill Morissette, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 538. In the words of my administrative assistant, it does not have a fizz-riz, which is good news. No fiscal, no revenue. This is, it's not really a PE bill. It's an exercise education, exercise learning bill. Exercise seen as priming the pump for students' academic strides. Cases grow stronger for physical activity linked to improved brain function. Over the years, I've introduced a number of PE bills trying to get them back into school, but that has not been successful, and I don't think it ever will be. Maybe in the year 2017. But this is a different approach. The range of benefits, there's a book by Dr. Ratty, who's the author of Spark, The Revolutionary New Science of Education and the Brain. It's a book that came out a year ago, and it draws together the findings for neuroscientific, biomedical, and educational research that correlate exercise with a wide variety of brain-related benefits, improving attention, reducing stress, and so on. There have been a number of studies done. For instance, there have been laboratory studies on mice and humans, for instance, that show that exercise prompts the brain to produce greater amounts of protein called brain-derived neuropathic factor, or FBNF, which Dr. Ratty likes to call miracle grow for the brain. It's interesting that in 1990, there was a teacher in Naperville, Illinois, a school district teacher, and this is a PE teacher called Phil Lawler, who observed that there seemed to be a relationship between the exercise and learning. And so he engaged individual students in appropriate vigorous cardiovascular exercise and eventually was able to gain support for his fitness approach to PE for improving learning. And despite the fact that they're a very small school district, his eighth graders and the sixth came in sixth in the world in mathematics ahead of all Western countries, only behind Singapore, Japan, and China, and others. So what he did is establish a program, was able to verify some data to show that, yes, indeed, that the appropriate exercise before certain classes, particularly the hard ones for students to grasp, did improve their scores, and this has been verified several times. So what this bill does is it asks the Department of Education, and I've met with them several times. They actually drafted the bill and drafted the amendments. Well, we drafted the bill. They amended it. And we're asking them to go out and find some grants, either from the government or from the private sector, and then to develop a program that school districts can apply for. They can apply for funding to institute some programs that would follow the research that I've described here. The school districts would have to bring something to the program. They would have to demonstrate that they had were able to do some measurements. We're still working out the details of what we would be asking the school districts to do. But this does not have a fiscal, and it is taking advantage of new research that may open the doors for a different kind of learning experience. So I think it's a great opportunity to do something in the line of physical education. By the way, only 6% of the students in the United States have PE 5 days a week, and many students spend a huge amount of time in not doing activities. Now, this will help that as well, but it's mostly focused on the ability to learn. So I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Not question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 538A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Star. Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney, excused, Boquist, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 538A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 639, read the Oregon Weed Commission.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. In 1947, the Oregon Wheat Commission was created at the request of wheat producers to promote Pacific Northwest wheat in overseas markets and to support the research laboratories at Oregon State University to develop wheat varieties and enhance quality, production, and increase yields. The Commission's work is supported by an assessment on wheat production, deducted at the first point of sale on every bushel grown and marketed in Oregon. Since 1947, the Commission has invested wheat growers' assessment funds in international market development programs, research, and public education. Senate Bill 639 restructures the Oregon Wheat Commission. The Commission restructuring represents agreement between the Oregon Department of Agriculture and the Oregon wheat industry. Senate Bill 639 changes membership composition of the Oregon Wheat Commission. It authorizes the Commission to create up to two additional voting members on the Commission for representatives of the wheat industry. For instance, a grain buyer and a grain shipper. It authorizes elimination of the public member position in the unlikely event that refunds of the assessment are to be considered. Senate Bill 639 also clarifies process for appointing and removing members. Senate Bill 639 also makes permanent the sunset provision scheduled to expire in January 2010. I'm happy to carry this bill today for a economic driver in the state of Oregon, the wheat growers, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 639A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Your names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard. Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson.
Aye.
Krasinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yeah.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. President Courtney. Excused. Boquist. Carter. President Courtney. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 639A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 660, relating to Oregon State Capital Foundation and property money.
Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you. Colleagues, don't the fountains out front on Court Street look beautiful? Don't they look nice? And the fountains on Wilson Park, just to the west of our beloved Capitol building, don't they look nice? They've been turned on. What this little bill here does was brought to my attention by some folks who work inside the building who would like the opportunity to make a deduction from their payroll to the Oregon Capitol Foundation, the very foundation that brought you such things as the Walk of Flags, brought you such places to sit as the nice benches in the rotunda, and is a body that has been blessed by the Oregon State Senate and the Oregon House of Representatives to work not only with us, but also with interested and passionate citizens for the restoration and beautification of our Capitol and its grounds. And this is a very small bill that will enable some very devoted employees around here to make that same donation. So I would urge an aye vote. It's a good bill. It's a simple bill. But I would also have you start to pay attention to such beautiful things as the Oregon Mall, the beautiful fountains, and to walk through the rotunda as Senator Cruz and I do every day and take a look around. It's a good bill. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, out of an abundance of caution, I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I serve as a member of the State Capital Foundation Board.
Further discussion? Senator Atkinson, do you wish to close?
Out of an abundance of caution, what did you just say? I also am a member of the Capital Foundation, and so I I guess I declare a potential conflict of interest, even though I think everyone should make donations. Thank you.
Thank you. Question now rises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 660. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. Yeah. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney. Excused. Boquist, Carter, President Courtney. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 660, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 780, relating to Asset Forfeiture Oversight Advisory Committee.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 780 reduces the number of legislators appointed to the Asset Forfeiture Oversight Committee from 6 to 4. This committee, which is a subcommittee of the Criminal Justice Commission, reviews civil and criminal forfeitures carried out under Oregon laws. The committee currently has 12 members, 3 members appointed by the governor, 3 members appointed by the attorney general, and the 6 legislators appointed by the Senate president and House speaker. This reduction is supported by legislative leadership because there are so many boards and commissions that need legislative membership, and 4 is plenty for the Asset Forfeiture Oversight Committee. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Question now rises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 780. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney, excused, Boquist, Carter, President Courtney, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 780, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2123, Land Workload Capacity and Human Services Agencies.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2256, Land City Housing Council Review of Housing and Community Services Development Transactions.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill, House Bill 2256, is coming to you, out of the Commerce and Workforce Development. It came out on a 5-0 vote. It passed out of the House of Representatives on a vote of 59-0. What this bill actually is going to do is going to require the Housing and Community Service Department to establish one or more threshold amounts so they can actually use that money for proposed housing grants and other such endeavors. This is something that's more of a cleanup, and reviewing it from the background, it's one that needed to be done to give clarity and make certain that the department has the authority to establish these threshold amounts and be able to do grants. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2256. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Monroe.
Senator Monroe. Senator Monroe, how do you vote?
Morse. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney. Excused. Boquist, Carter, President Courtney. 27 ayes.
House Bill 2256, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2257, the Community Development Incentive Project Fund.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. In 1999, the Community Incentive Fund was created to make loans and grants for the purpose of encouraging several types of real estate and housing developments. However, in 2007, the legislature directed the fund be used solely to support affordable housing. Under existing law, both the State Housing Council and the Community Development Investment Advisory Board, made up of volunteers from the housing industry, are required to review all applications seeking funding from the Community Incentive Fund. They duplicate the same efforts. House Bill 2257 eliminates the need for duplicate approval and allows the Oregon Housing and Community Services to make loans or grants for the purposes of preserving affordable housing without the review or recommendation by the Community Development Incentive Advisory Board, a good deregulation bill, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senators. Further discussion? Not question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2257. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. When their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Monroe.
Senator Monroe. Senator Monroe, how do you vote on this bill?
Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Carter, 28 ayes.
House Bill 2257A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2258, Wind Imageable Development Accounts.
Chair recognizes Senator Monis Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2258 assists low-income individuals to become productive members to themselves and to our communities. In Oregon, we have the individual development account, and through a contractor, we market and sell tax credits to individuals and businesses that have an Oregon tax liability. The proceeds from this sale of these tax credits are then used to provide an asset building strategy to aid low-income participants in building financial resources. These funds are matched with participant savings, which are ultimately used to either fund their education, a small business startup, and a down payment assistance for home ownership. Program participants are helped to purchase the following things: a home, a small business, their education, or if they want to repair a primary dwelling or purchase equipment or technology to allow them to work. And they must qualify by income and be able to make monthly deposits into a savings account. They also must be willing, through financial education courses as well as an asset-specific education, they must be willing to attend those. Once qualified, then these individuals begin savings on a regular basis until they reach their savings goal. And once that's achieved, every dollar they save is typically matched 3 to 1. This is an excellent tool to help bring low-income working families, helping them build assets and keep them from falling into expensive government safety nets. Participants must learn disciplined saving habits, complete extensive financial education, as well as training specific to their savings goals, such as the ABCs of home buying or writing a business plan. There are 800 participants enrolled in the program. It's an excellent program. But during this last year, it was brought to the department's attention that the current income restrictions defined in Oregon statutes was leaving individuals out of a program who are above the 80% area median income level, but below the 200% of federal poverty. The benchmark of 200% of federal poverty level is what many federal programs operate under, including the federal IDA initiative. So what House Bill 2258 does, it changes the definition of lower income households that can qualify for the program. This provides the department with the ability to be more effective in serving low income households, particularly larger households, in developing an effective asset management strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2258A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As their names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Sanderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prezonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer.
Aye.
Berger. Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters. Winters. Atkinson.
Yeah.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter.
Yeah.
Devlin. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Hass. Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2258A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2259, related to Committee Action, Directors of Oregon.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2259, and this bill makes one simple change, changes the name of the Community Action Directors of Oregon to the Community Action Partnership of Oregon. This change is part of a national directive that has caused the same change to happen in states across the country. Effectively, it's already been done, and this bill just acknowledges that in statute. So I would urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2259. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. As their names are called, those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monz Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prezonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yeah.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. President Courtney. Excused. Boquist, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2259, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a quick reminder, there's some light refreshments in the lobby since we honor my mom and dad and their 53rd wedding anniversary. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, Senate Democrats, go directly to your caucus room. We're only going to be there for about 25 to 30 minutes, promise, and we'll try to get done by noon.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further announcements? Senator Farioli, do you have an announcement?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Republicans are cordially invited to help the STARS
celebrate their 53rd anniversary, and following that at noon, we'll have a caucus in the caucus room on the third floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further announcements? If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 Wednesday, April 1st.